I think he's trying to record.
This meeting is now being recorded.
Perfect.
This is the meeting of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee's Revenue Expenditures Subcommittee. We're going to take roll right now. I'm going to start with the co-chairs and then go with call the judges and then the court executive officers. Judge Earl's on the line.
Yes.
Sherry Carter.
Yes.
Judge Good. Judge Good. Judge Herman. Judge Herman. Judge Lee.
Here.
Judge Maragonda.
Here.
Judge McCabe.
I'm here.
Judge Smith. Judge Smith. She indicated she would not be able to make it. Rick Feldstein.
Here.
Rebecca Fleming. Rebecca Fleming. Jose Guillen.
Here.
Michael Planet.
Here.
Brian Taylor. Brian Taylor. David Yamasaki.
Here.
Judge Earl, I'm sure we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. It should also be noted that Judge Conklin is also joining us on this call today. Thank you for joining us.
You bet.
First order of business would be approval of the minutes from the last meeting, which was the July 29th meeting. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved. This is Judge Lee.
Second.
Is there a second?
Maragonda was a second.
Thank you. Any discussion on the minutes? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. The minutes are approved. We have not had any public comments submitted. Is that correct, Stephen?
That's correct.
All right. So I will turn it right over to the only item on the agenda, item one, which is proposed change to the Child Court Trust Fund Program. And I'll turn it over, as I said, to Judge Conklin, Sherry Carter, and Zlatko.
Judge Earl, thank you so much, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. We may get some additional people coming on as we move along. This is a presentation from the joint working group that has been in existence for some time to address the comment in the audit about local operations and state operations. The original joint working group was Judge Slough and Judge Johnson with CEOs Rebecca Fleming and Sherry Carter. Due to a change in the makeup of this group, it's now been the judge. I'm now the judge representing us, and the CEOs are Rebecca Fleming and Sherry Carter representing us as well. We've had numerous meetings concerning the task at hand, and I want to clarify that what the working group has addressed is what was the clear language to develop recommendations concerning improved definitions for money spent for state operations versus local assistance and increased transparency of expenditures made on behalf of the trial court by JCC staff. So I fully recognize that one of our existing tasks is addressing guidelines related to that issue, but for today's purposes, that is not the task at hand. That should not be viewed as any indication of anything except for the fact that we stayed defined to our current goal, recognizing that the guidelines issue is a very valid issue and a very vibrant issue and one that is continuing to be addressed and will be addressed at a later time. With that being said, Zlatko, I think you have some input on the audit itself and those audit comments, and then Stephen, you will help us drill down for those judges and CEOs on the line and anybody else who has the report that was issued. I know this is a very complicated issue, as with any budget item. I was having a conversation with Judge Earl earlier today. Once again, she's been such great help in this transition, and she once again emphasized that, you know, even though these are complicated issues, we can't just bowl right over them. We have to do our best to define them and to help everybody understand them. So if there's questions as we move on, please don't be shy about asking those. Our goal is to try to, as best we can, share our knowledge with you about this so everybody understands it. That being said, Zlatko?
Yes, thank you, Judge. I appreciate that. What I'll say is this to start off is that the funding that is provided by the state through the budget to the trial courts, the trial courts in large definition and the trial courts at the operational level, is complicated. And it has been an ongoing effort to improve the understanding of how those funds are spent. And the audit did raise this issue when they looked at it as thinking, well, monies that are spent in one way maybe should be budgeted one way, and if they're spent another way, maybe they should be budgeted differently. And so they raised the issue to the legislature, but in our response to the audit, we felt we were going to take on a task of, and I say we, meaning the judicial branch, not leaving it up to the legislature, but having our own input, because we understand our programs better than any, but we need to make sure that everybody is in encountering our budgetary information, understanding what is being spent. And so there's been information in the governor's budget that has provided some level of information to sort of further explain what is spent for support of trial court operations. But there's clearly been a need to continue that. And so we see this audit recommendation, our response, actually in a way it's a an update, and what we're proposing is an update to existing information that makes it more understandable, because it is not clear. There's money that goes directly to trial courts, and UCOs and PJs have a clear direct authority over that. And there's other monies that are distributed from that same budget area that have a different nature, but still effectively support the state trial court system. We wanted to start to get to explain that to the general public. So when you see this information, hopefully it is and does look in terms of the displays, you know, items that you understand. And we went as a group through it in many different ways to try and best explain the nuances of trial court funding. And so since we think that this is merely an updating of what has already been already in the governor's budget, and is merely, and again, an increasing transparency, we don't see it as a policy call per se for the judicial council to need to approve, but rather to get through the budget advisory committee, which we hope is the next step for this, sort of affirm this change in this display as informational. There's a small budgetary alignment that we would need to do to bring this all within the definitions that we're presenting, but we think that this is will be a good step forward in improving people's understanding of what we do, and internally within the branch, and looking at this information, understanding where all the money flows and where it goes. And so we're actually pretty excited about this. Timing-wise, we have to get this, if we want this in the governor's budget, we need to get this to the Department of Finance in the next few weeks. That's why we are doing this by phone, and then having a special budget advisory committee meeting, hopefully assuming that you will approve this to go forward to them, so that they can see it and understand it and appreciate what we're doing. So with that, unless Stephen thinks I need to address anything else, I'll let Stephen dive into the more technical issues of the report.
Or very good. Thank you.
Or if there are any questions of what I've just presented. Okay.
Great. Thanks, Laco. Stephen?
Sure. Good afternoon. As it's been mentioned at least two or three times, this is a very complicated, very technical issue, and I'm under no delusions. I can be delusional, but I'm under no delusions on whether I'm trying to educate you to be experts on this particular subject matter, and insofar as it concerns appropriations, because it is an account. In a way, what we're dealing with is a kind of an accounting issue, and I'm going to not just say verbatim what's in the report. I think the report lays it out fairly well. I'm going to take a slightly different tack. I'm going to try to say it simply, but not oversimplify in doing so, the issue. I think one way to look at what you're going to be acting on today, there's five recommendations. I would say the first two recommendations are related to an accounting issue, and it primarily relates to the Budget Act. So that's why in the informational materials, you're given some of the Budget Act language, and we're referring to the Budget Act and appropriations. And appropriations, and we're really talking about specifically the expenditure authority. And it's a like court's accounting systems and the way we do it in the state is that there are many different dimensions when you're accounting for something. Particularly in the state, the key dimensions are the agency. And so it's not just one particular code. Depending on the agency, they're going to have a specific code. The judicial branch's code is 0250. There's also the fund. There are many multiple funds. Primarily, though, the state government employees are funded through the general fund. The two funds we're talking about in particular today are going to be the TCTF and the IMF, and they have different codes. Another very important dimension is what we've called state operations and local assistance. And if you read the materials, there are three characteristics when we're talking about what's called the reference item. It's local assistance, those expenditures that have the character of supporting local government, local activities, locally administered activities, and state operations, those activities, expenditures that support state government. And as discussed in the materials, and I'm sure you're all aware, the judicial branch is a little special in that regard because we cross those categories depending on how you want to look at it, depending on what you want to emphasize. And then there's a third major category of capital outlay. There's actually a fourth category undefined that the DOF has purview over, and they can assign it if something doesn't quite fit those first three categories. So that's one issue that we'll talk about. Strictly, if you want to look at it technically, an accounting issue that involves mostly the Budget Act. The recommendations 3, 4, and 5, I think maybe it's helpful to look at it. That's where we're trying to address transparency. And in doing so, we're talking not about the Budget Act because, as you can see, the Budget Act is pretty confusing. Any layperson is not really going to understand all those codes because it's not very much spelled out. Even any particular agency, you can be an expert in your own numbers and codes, but if you look at another department, you'd probably be confused. You wouldn't understand it. So the Budget Act is not probably the best place to try to improve transparency per se. Maybe for accounting purposes, not for transparency, not for the average person looking at it, because unless you understand all the codes, you're really not going to understand what they mean. And you can see in attachment B on page 21, there's 22 Budget Act appropriations, and they're all in different places. And so it can be very confusing. And that's why the group is recommending, for transparency purposes, having some information displayed in the governor's proposed budget, which is released by January 10th of every year, and with some more detail and some more common, less technical language, and also proposing that to go beyond that, have something on the website, because there's only limited what you might call real estate, amount of space available to print information that will be legible. And what we're proposing right now is probably on the verge of being illegible, but we feel like all that information is important, is that then additional information can be provided on the judicial branch's website, the Cal Courts website. So that's helpful. Recommendations 1 and 2, more of an accounting issue. Recommendations 3 through 5, more of a transparency, how to make information more transparent, easier to understand, more simple for everybody, public as well as for the trial courts and other stakeholders. To go back to recommendations 1 and 2 and also to attachment B, the issue so then for the state operations and local assistance cannot be isolated from the general overall accounting structure, as again discussed in the report. The legislature, after the audit hearing on the report that was released concerning the, at the time, AOC, now Judicial Council, did not pass any legislation or propose any particular legislation that would change the definition or clarify the definition of local assistance and state operations. And to my knowledge, they're not in the process of doing so. They did not seek our input in making any changes. My understanding, too, is that the governor, Department of Finance, is not proposing any changes as well, given as in response to the audit for any other purpose, although they are open to the judicial branch making proposals and suggestions to making changes, and particularly in the Budget Act, but also in any other kind of informational display that we would want to provide in any of the documents that the governor publishes. So with respect to the accounting issue, one has to then deal with the definitions. And there is a definition that the Department of Finance uses, and it's not strictly followed by every agency. People do it a little differently. There's no standard practice. But the definition is pretty clear, as I just mentioned. State operations are those expenditures that have the characteristics of supporting state government, local assistance expenditures that have the characteristic of supporting local government, locally administered activities. The group did not attempt to critique or try to re-examine the definition. It was just too big of an issue to handle, and so they focused more on the practice. So given the current appropriations, right now in the Budget Act, there's 22 that are related to state trial court funding monies that are either mainly supposed to go directly to the trial courts to fund court operations, or monies that are go to other appropriations or allocations that support generally support the trial court. Some of it goes outside of the trial courts, not meant to support the trial courts directly or indirectly, like monies that go to the state bar. Well, I guess you could argue it impacts the courts indirectly. Monies that go to the state bar, there's money that goes to the court-appointed special advocacy grantees, but monies that go to the judges, assigned judges program, as well as the court interpreters. So looking at the practice of how currently the JCC staff are using the appropriations, which is that anything that is supporting, that is directly related to JCC staff, their salaries, their benefits, and some of their overhead rent in particular, that's probably the highest dollar value, is being charged to state operations expenditure authority or appropriations. Everything else is being charged to the local assistance appropriation. And there's really, you can categorize it in different ways, but the staff came up with three categories in terms of how to make the distinction between, and also somewhat relying on what the auditor came up with in terms of making a distinction, is that there are maybe arguably three key distinctions in terms of the local assistance expenditures that were currently being charged to local assistance appropriation authority. One is direct distribution to courts. And by the way, the state operations, I think in general, let me hold off on that. So the other three categories, one is direct distribution to courts. So it's money that goes directly to the courts, generally to reimburse them for costs or to support trial court operations. The other is other local non-court entities. And the universe of that would be judges, assigned judges' salaries, the CASA program, as I mentioned. There's also the Sergeant Shriver grants, as well as the state bar. So those five entities would be all the others that are direct distributions that don't go to the courts. Then the third category is the expenditures that are spent on behalf of the courts by JCC staff. And most of those expenditures are related to the IMF, not so much the TCTF. All of those, the vast majority of expenditures spent on behalf of the courts are from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund. So when you look at that, you'll see that in Catchment B that most of the appropriations, and you'll see there's 22 because you have to look at the matrix, the combination of state fund, in this case agency doesn't matter because they're all the judicial branch, and then you have to look at the local assistance reference item number, and they're generally going to be either 101 or 102. And there's not a real fixed definition of what those are used for. Department of Finance assigns it to different agencies because they'll have maybe an idea of how they want to use it to distinguish between different kinds of expenditures within the same appropriation fund. And also the other thing I should mention, there's another dimension of appropriations is programs. Some of the appropriations have what they call a program element component task. That is the structure, and that's what the courts use, PECT, in terms of budgeting throughout the government. So program is a highest level activity, element is at a lower level, component is even a lower level, and task is the lowest level that is budgeted for, or tracked at for the state government. And for most of the appropriations in the state trial court funding, it's just at the program element level for state trial court funding. There are a few that go down to the component level. Some of the grants go down to the task level. And so that's another way to distinguish between appropriations, and that's why you have these 22 distinct appropriations when you combine either the fund, you combine and add the local assistance or state operations, as well as adding the program element or component task schedule. And so what the subcommittee found was that they thought that the expenditures that support trial court operations, they relied on the Department of Finance's definition, and thought for various reasons that the current practice is there's no need to change the current practice of assigning the state operations expenditures to those that are spent on behalf of JCC staff, and all the other ones should be considered local assistance. And there are many permutations. That's what makes this issue very complicated, or potentially complicated. There's many ways of handling. There's many different permutations, and we try to address the universe of them in large categories. But it'd be very difficult to go through every single one of them with you today. Although, if you have any questions about any permutation that you come up with, we can be happy to address those and talk about those. So the bottom line, in terms of recommendations 1 and 2, is that the subcommittee believes that the current practice is consistent with the definitions of the Department of Finance. And for other considerations, there are reasons to not make changes. One key one is that local state operations expenditures could incur what's called a pro rata, the general state overall administrative cost that's charged through government-wide. And so if we were to move a lot of expenditures that are currently, those expenditures that are spent on behalf of the courts, and categorize that some of those or all of those as state operations expenditures, the overhead charge to the trial court trust fund and the IMF could increase, and therefore less funds would be available for IMF. Definitely those that would be less available to for programs that support the courts from the trial court trust fund, and generally it's going to impact the allocations to the trial courts, because everything else is funded from the general fund, and so the main impact would be to allocations available to support state trial court operations. So that is kind of a very high-level explanation of where the subcommittee landed in terms of recommendations 1 and 2. Actually, number 2 is then, because of the recommendation 1, they believe that things, at least at this point, should the current practice is acceptable, there's no obvious reason to change it, that to make it consistent with the recommendation 1, the current practice, and you can see this in attachment C, page 22, row number 3, there are some expenditures from the from the TCTF that are distributions on behalf of courts, but are right now characterized by, are under charge to the state operations appropriation. And this has only been over the past 4 years. The Department of Finance at the last minute made a change to make that a state operations appropriation, even though you can see in column C that it's still, the title is state trial court operations. So there's acknowledgement, there's understanding that those monies are in support of trial court operations, but for various reasons, which I won't go into, that at that point in time, they made a change to that to be a state operations appropriations. So the subcommittee is recommending that we change that back. If agreeable to DOF and the legislature, that it really should be a local assistance appropriation consistent with the Department of Finance's recommendation or definition. One thing I should note is that you could argue that that all of the state operations appropriations could be considered local assistance if you go by the Department of Finance's definition, and you can make a case for that. As discussed in the report, there's certainly a county convention that the Department of Finance uses, and that generally personal services expenditures are generally categorized as state operations. That's why the subcommittee is recommending that maintains the practice. That's just the way it works in general. You could get around that, but generally speaking, government-wide, statewide, that's how almost all expenditures related to personal services are just considered state operations expenditure or reference items. So I'll stop there. If there's any questions about the accounting aspect of it in terms of recommendations 1 and 2 or any issues, I'll be happy to address those before going on to recommendations 3, 4, and 5. Okay. Move on to recommendations 3, 4, and 5. Those are, as I mentioned earlier, related to transparency. As you can see, as I've discussed, the Budget Act is not a great vehicle for trying to be transparent about exactly how monies are spent. I mean, you can't provide really any detail other than at the very high level appropriations. And so the subcommittee believes that the best way of doing this is to provide a new special display in the governor's proposed budget as provided in attachment G, which is on page 44. And the main goal is to show the expenditures made out of state trial court funding that are not distributed to courts. The auditor's report talked about distributions that are made on behalf of the courts in a more restricted fashion. So, but we, to be even more transparent, it might be helpful for folks to understand that all the money's appropriations for state trial court funding doesn't all go to the courts. Some of it's spent on their behalf, and there's another category that it just goes to other entities. It goes to judges, mostly, either current judges or retired judges under the assigned judges program, and then there are other monies that go for other purposes like the CASA program as well as the state bar. And in order to make this, this will be in addition to the current special display that's in the, currently in the governor's budget that was published in July 10th, 2015, and that's on, if you want to see what's currently there, you would go to attachment E. And we've highlighted the section that we think should be revised in order to make the connection between the current special display and the proposed new additional special display a little bit clearer, if not absolutely clear, to folks in terms of what the connection is. And the proposed change to the current display is outlined and highlighted in attachment F, page 43 of your materials.
So far, so good.
So I think the transparency issue is just simple, very clear. Is just, let's give them more detail. What are all the expenditures by program, by fund, and the amount of expenditures that were expended in the previous year, and then also indicate what was being, what's being allocated in the current year. And in terms of recommendation five, what additional information could we put on the California Courts website? We talked about this in the subcommittee. It could be even more detailed at the what we call the object level, the types of expenditures. Was it spent on computer equipment? Was it spent on consultants? That kind of information could be published on the website. And additional context and explanation, too, because you can only fit so much. You can see that already the footnotes are pretty – there's a lot of footnotes that you can barely read. We can provide more context for what's being provided.
And the main reason for that we discuss in the subcommittee are – in our working group was just that, as Stephen said earlier, the lack of real estate, yet our recognition that some of these things are anything but clear in the budget display, so we would have a website essentially to where if people had questions, they could go to that to hopefully get them more clarification on the issue. It's nothing official, it's just a another reference.
So are there any questions? I'm sorry, Stephen, were you done?
Yeah, I'm done. I just want to let you know that I was done.
Are there any questions from the committee members for Stephen or Zlatko?
This is Brian McCabe. Any feedback from DOF about our proposal?
We provided them a draft. Well, they actually, since it's a public meeting, we provided them a report and asked them to give us any questions. When the audit had come out, we met with them to go over any of the financial, fiscal-related issues. And so they know that we've been working on this, and they haven't given us any negative feedback as far as, you know, us engaging in this and as opposed to the way that the recommendation is written that there'd be a legislature. And so far they haven't, you know, we've given them the conceptual discussion about the nature of the expenditures, the variations of local assistance, and why we don't think that state operations is appropriate because you're trial courts, and what money goes to you or to support you should be within local assistance, that you're not a state operation. Your staff are trial court employees, not state employees. And so, I mean, that's where it's been so far. We think that it will, you know, with the support of this committee and the Budget Advisory Committee, that that the special display update should be to their liking, because they do want more transparency. I think they just the change that Stephen was referring to from a few years ago was done in haste without a full understanding of the interactions of all of the expenditures. And I think that we with, you know, Sherry and Rebecca and the judges on the committee, I think we could explain to them why this is a rational and appropriate approach to both the audit, but also generally speaking to the way in which the trial court funds are budgeted and displayed in their governor's budget. Long answer to a short question.
So
The first branch doesn't have similar local assistance where some of it's passed through other.
Oh, absolutely.
Then I would think, and what I'm getting from the audit is trying to bring this in line with everybody so that we're all talking the same language.
Yeah.
The displays are similar, and at the same time that they're simplified so that it's easier for folks outside the branch to look at it, or even inside, and get a sense of, okay, here's what the numbers are, here's the allocations, et cetera.
And the judge, to react to that is that there's an art based on the relationship that the state and the entity has, and what it is that any entity, like say the Judicial Council, and our interaction with the funding process. And so I think that the way in which we're describing this and the information that's being provided really, I think, gets at, you know, the uniqueness of the relationship, that, you know, you're not local government in the way in which a county or a county health program is, but you're not a state program like the Department of Mental Health. You have your own unique placement in state government. And us trying to explain how the money flows and how it does benefit trial courts in this special display, I think, helps get at that. It's as much the showing the Budget Act appropriations, as Stephen has shown in the report, don't help with transparency. Putting the special display in words that court users, our stakeholders, I mean, they understand what educational programs are. If we were to put curriculum development, I mean, there's ways to do this. I think this is a very good way to increase the people's understanding of how the trial court appropriation support for trial court operations appropriations are divvied up for local assistance.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Because one more thing, because even the auditor, they had suggestions, but they were suggesting maybe something in which the Judicial Council staff are involved in the expenditures to be state operations. But that, again, I think showed a shallow understanding of the relationship and what the funding goes for. I mean, their audit was of a limited duration, and they didn't have the time to get into it. I think the time we've spent going over this is in depth in the discussions that we had with Sherry and Rebecca and folks was to really get at what are we doing with the money and who does it benefit. It doesn't benefit a state entity. It benefits a local entity and therefore is local assistance.
Right. And I don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you to simply adopt because we want to placate. It's the exact opposite. As another branch, there's an education element, and we really want to harmonize as much as we can, noting that there are distinguishing factors and practices here, and that's more of an education element than anything else. So I get that.
And I do want to acknowledge, as Blacko just mentioned, by the way, you know, and not that the judges aren't important, but the CEOs in this process, and Judge Earl, I'm just, you know this as well,
critical.
We're really the most helpful and beneficial in working through a lot of these definitions. So Sherry and Rebecca and others, your expertise was much appreciated.
Thank you. Rebecca's not on the phone, so thank you.
So down to the headings that were used on any of the charts to make sure they were understandable too. This is transparency internally as much as it is externally. We want to be able to have our branch family understand where all the money is going.
So this is Mike Planet, Judge Conklin. I just want to offer a comment that I'm kind of new to this particular topic, but having read through the materials and looking at charts, I think attachments F and G are really well done and easily and understandable. So having said that, I support the recommendations.
Well, that's appreciated and encouraging, because if this can be viewed as understandable, then we've come very close to accomplishing our goal. So thank you.
Yeah. I want to ask Z and Stephen a question. Are you able to break down like attachment, let's say attachment G by court? You know, do you have those spreadsheets?
Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, the issue about G, we could, but not all cases. In some cases, where it's a direct distribution of the courts, we definitely can. Well, actually, these are, let me see. Some of the most of them we can't because we don't necessarily, the programs don't necessarily track it at that level of detail. Could be reimbursement of TECs, and they don't track it by court and how much it's just. So it would, for some of the line items, it's very difficult. For others, it's easy, but it's not all easy.
So I'm not going to see the breakout, for example, on the WAFM worksheet, that workbook that we get whenever that's worked up.
Never. This is Sherry. We've asked for that for several years as part of the Revenue and Expenditure Committee when trying to look at the program costs because, you know, IMF has got another hole and Trial Court Trust Fund is going to have a hole. And it's because they don't do their accounting that way. I mean, they've never been asked to do their accounting that way. So if you look at Phoenix, Trial Court Trust Fund, or some of the other costs, they haven't allocated out. They have not created a system, and we're never told to create a system that would allocate costs and percentages of time and take timesheets and then accrue those hours against certain programs and a percentage to the courts. So while they can do it for some, they can't do it for most.
Okay. It just occurred to me that would be I was kind of reading this and responding to the survey that just came out, too, thinking about that, and I just thought that the two pieces of information would be, I just thought that would be helpful at some point if it becomes possible to do that, or even, I'd be curious to know just from my own standpoint. But I guess I can break it down here.
And I think when the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee, for those items that we have that are known to be distributed to specific courts, that's certainly something that we could provide. I mean, obviously there are known court-appointed dependency counsel, various. But assigned judges are not tracked by court at our level that I know of. Maybe programmatically they do, but not from a budgeting accounting standpoint by court.
Okay, thank you.
Would it make sense at some point in the future to do that, so you have an idea of the dollars that are actually being funneled to each court?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I understood Mike correctly too, I mean, as Mike noted, each of the courts also, from their perspective, keep track of that. So that might be an idea too of work from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This is Jose Guillen. Could I pose a question just on the operational side? Any impact to the PEC ledgers at the local level and with Phoenix? Any programming or training that would be required?
This would not change anything for you.
Thank you.
Sure.
So any other questions? Or is there anyone on the working group that wants to add any other comments? All right. Well, the working group is, this is presented as an action item. They have proposed five recommendations that appear on page 5 of your materials. Is there a motion?
I don't know if I can do that because I'm on the working group. This is Judge Conklin, but
McCabe moves.
Planet seconds.
Mike Planet seconds. Thank you. Is there any further discussion or questions before we call the question? All right. All in favor of the motion to approve the five recommendations, say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? All right, the recommendations are approved.
Good. Excellent.
Very
Judge
good.
Conklin,
nice job.
Anything further?
No, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Judge Earl.
All right, Stephen or Zlatko, anything further?
No, thank you for all the support and of the subgroup. It was important that we did it this way, and we appreciate it being something we could do together to help.
All right,
Zlatko, this is Sherry. When is the next Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee meeting that we'll be reviewing this next?
Oh, what is the date? It's in a few weeks. We're having another phone call meeting to go over.
So you're going to try to do this also again through phone?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just one
thank
thing,
you,
Judge Earl, for the subcommittee members, if there's anything you can think of, you might have a little more time to review this issue in terms of helping me explain it to the entire advisory committee, please feel free to email me or call me. I would appreciate that.
And I'll remind the group that we do have our next meeting is December 14th and 15th in Sacramento. I think Judge Conklin is going to join us. So that will be good.
Looking forward to it.
So I do want to thank the working group for
thank you
for working on this issue, and for the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee members for giving up your lunch hour for us, and we will see you all in December.
Yeah, excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.